Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hello, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Julien Béranger, and translating is Armand de Jura. Excellent. We're here in Costa Cours, which is, what is it?
It's a coteau with our wine, our cow wine, on soil very poor, soil siderolytic.
How do you say this?
Siderolytic.
Siderolytic. Yep, that one.
Siderolytic in English.
Yeah, no, I know it as ironstone. That's the way I think about it, which is it's like a clay that's got lots of iron in it and it's compressed into a stone.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Iron stone is what I call it. But you guys call it?
Siderolytic.
Exactly. There's some words I can't pronounce, so I'll leave those to the French who are very good at pronouncing French words. We're here, as you said, it's a coat, so it's on the hill. So Cahors is divided up into two general areas. They are...
So Cahors is divided in two parts, the Appellation Cahors. So one part is located in the valley, and the other part will be located on the coast, on the plateau. And particularly today, we're in the domain La Bérangerie, that is located in Floresas, the village of Floresas, which is western and southern part of the Appellation Cahors.
Excellent. And we're up high, and we're on the ironstone.
Exactly. You like this word, Chris. Siderolytic.
I like the word ironstone is what I like. Okay, so one of the things about ironstone is it's, you know, it's quite compact, but it's really just like a sandstone, really, but with lots of iron in it. You've got a vineyard planted mainly on ironstone. Why did you choose, why here?
When my parents arrived here, they are 47 years ago, didn't know the soil is it's very specific for the for a vineyard. And in
1972.
The IRA with the appellation of Cahors was created, and at this moment, my parents decided to plant Malbec because it's a soil for wine and for Malbec.
Okay.
And after. With the geologic IRA chart, we have seen siderolytic, with very especially for typical wines.
Okay, so 1970s, you planted up on this lovely iron stone, yeah, the cedar.
Stuff. I love it.
You've been growing grapes on here now for over 40 years. How do the wines up in the hill, up in the course, differ from down on the terraces down by the river lot?
The difference before the quantity, I think. We do a little quantity here, 35 hectoliters by hectares.
Oh, okay, that's quite a bit lower.
Here,
yeah.
Because the soil is very very poor. In valley, the soil more rich with the lot, like the lot, and here on the coteau, very poor, and on the plateau. We do little quantity, 20, 25 hectoliters by hectares.
Yeah.
And for the high cuvée, we can do an éclaircissage. We cut grape
It's a green harvest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, your green harvest.
For limited, the quantity for a special cuvée.
Yeah, so your top cuvée.
For have a lot of matter and quality.
It's quite low yielding, which is not always the best if you're trying to make lots of money, because yield equals cash usually, so that must be a bit tough. The wines, are they different to the down in the terrace? Do they taste differently?
There are differences to the degustation. The soil, the siderolytic soil.
I understand.
The siderolytic soil gives different aromas.
Yeah.
Licorice and peppermint and sweetness of tannins. And we can drink more early our wines because it's very fine.
So they're more approachable earlier on. You can get into them. They don't dry
yes,
your mouth out.
But you can keep 35 years.
35 years?
Yes.
Oh, that's a long
12,
time.
35 for Cuvée Morin.
Yeah.
You can keep 35 years if you want.
And does it develop tertiary flavors? Does it develop unusual savory characteristics as it ages?
Licorice, lot of licorice, and animals.
Yeah.
Not animals.
What sort of animals?
Games.
Game, yeah. Gamey yes. type flavors.
And fruits, jams, fruits.
Yeah?
Yes. Okay. Cherries, black cherries. For Cuvée Morin.
Okay. When would you want to drink the Cuvée Morin? You know,
it's bottled. The best time to drink it
yes.
is when it's bottled, or maybe after 10 years or 20
yes.
years.
Yes, the good moment for taste in generally cow wines from 5 years, 5, 6 years.
Mm.
And the best 10 years, it's very, very good.
Okay. Do you hold any wines back before releasing? Do you keep them for 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years before you release?
We can guard 4 or 5 years, but not more.
Okay.
Just 4 years, and we sell.
Yeah.
All on the year.
Yeah.
So we haven't stock.
Yeah, no, well, it makes sense, economic sense. You don't want to hold on to wine and age it for the customer. You want to sell it, and if they want to cage it, then they will age the wine themselves. Okay. Getting back to the Ironstone, let's get this right. Say it again very slowly.
Siderolytic.
Yeah, siderolytic.
Siderolytic.
Right. So the siderolytic soils, Ironstone. There's a lot of limestone up here on the Cos. Yeah. Do you call it cot or cos?
Cos.
But that's really, that means hill, doesn't it?
That means, yeah, exactly. Plateau. We say plateau in French.
Plateau, yeah. Up here. There's a lot of limestone up here as well as the ironstone. Which is more common up here? Is it ironstone or limestone?
Well, what is more common is limestone, because generally speaking, when we talk about the cos, is limestone everywhere. Then we find some few places with a bit of siderolytic soils, which is today about 4 to 5% of the terroir in Cahors.
Yeah.
So very small proportion.
Okay. So if limestone's quite good for growing grapes because it's both porous and permeable. In other words, the water can flow through the limestone, so if it's wet, it doesn't pond, but at the same time, it holds on to water. So if it's very dry, the grapes have got access to water. How does the siderolytic soils, ironstone soils, do? Is it like that, or how do they work?
It's the iron stone. It's permeable.
So the water flows through it, but doesn't pond on top.
So the water go into the ground and the roots can eat in this water.
It does look from just looking around. It looks like certainly the soils up here. You're at a bit higher altitude, so that it feels a little bit cooler up here as well. Is it? How high are we on the coat?
Here?
Yeah.
200
meters.
Yes.
200 meters above the terrace or 200 meters above sea level?
200 meters above the sea level.
Yes.
Okay, and how high is the lock?
I don't know the exact answer for that. I think it's 200, when we talk about 200 or 250, it's above the sea level. I wouldn't know about the lock level. I'm not sure about the exact.
As we came up though, it did feel like we were climbing, and it does feel noticeably cooler up here than maybe down on the terrace. So you do have different soils. You've got a slightly different climate up here. Cahors is just one big appellation. Is there any sort of... See, I'm good, aren't I?
I see you're coming.
Like a train, mate, like a train. So I was talking to Arnold earlier about in changes to the appellation or anything along those lines. Is there any sort of work maybe to divide the appellation up into smaller segments? Because, you know, you're French, you must want to divide it up into the like 2-inch squares and have a different name for every inch.
The departure point is what makes the richness of Cahors Vineyard today is the diversity of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking about the diversity, I think we could compare it, for example, to Burgundy, because it's a lot of diversity. But if we have to synthesize it, we would say it's really two main areas, as the valley and the coast, we were discussing it earlier. It's really this two main areas. We made this segmentation, and we noticed some real difference in terms of Malbec expression from these two areas, and we are working at the moment on a classification that would make the difference between these different areas.
Yeah. Do you get people who are both in the valley and in the coast growing grapes and then blending them together, or do they tend to have different wines for different subregions?
Different a soil, a wine.
They're not blending together at all?
Some of them, yes. It's actually two different models. I think the main one would be the Burgundy model. So with one grape, with the Malbec, we're going to get the best expression we can from a single terroir. But there are also some producers that are much more oriented on the Bordeaux model, which is the idea of blending different terroirs or even other grapes. And there are a few producers, yes, that blend some Malbec from different terroirs, maybe from the valley and the coast.
The problem that you may encounter then is if you've got people who are blending and you have two subregions of appellation, that means you'll end up with three appellations, a Cahors terrace or valley, a Cahors coast, which is the hills, and then you'll end up with a Cahors. And you may find that people don't want to be just called AOC Cahors. They might think that's lesser, even though they think maybe their wines are better. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit early maybe to talk about a point like that. But I know it exists in some other appellation with classification. For example, if you take Burgundy, you can have some first cru with the name of a cru each time. I don't know, for example, les chevaliers. In some specific cases, they can mix two different premier cru, and then they still can keep the mention on it, but they wouldn't have any name for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bone, premier cru de Bone is
exactly.
A classic
with no name.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Okay.
So there are possibilities. I don't know where it's going to be going, but yeah, we really have the idea to express these two different areas.
Because Cahors is quite a big area for just one appellation, yeah? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's about 4,000 hectares, 4,500 today. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one thing that I've noticed about Cahors is, it's not about the wines or sort of is that it's not a monoculture. You know, you go to some regions and it's just vines, 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 vines. And as a result, you don't get a lot of birds or plants or insects. You know, we saw some beautiful dragonflies earlier. I got a thing about dragonflies. But yeah, we saw some, yeah, there's a lot of insects and beasties.
Ladybirds,
all sorts of things all over the place, which is actually quite good from an environmental point of view. Do you think that sort of thing affects your wines at all?
Ladybird, yes. Yeah. Because little beasties on the vine.
The aphids. The little green aphids that eat your plants. Yeah, ladybirds love them, don't they?
Yes, ladybird. It's an ecosystem.
I know in New Zealand there's a lot of monoculture in the vineyards, and a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to plant other materials so that encouraging insects and all that sort of thing into the environment. But here, it's not a monoculture. You know, there are patches of vineyards, patches of arable lands, and loads of hills and trees and all sorts of things all over the place. I tell you what, Cahors is a very pretty place.
Mm-hmm.
The town's pretty. Well, what I've seen of the town so far, I'd call it the prettiest town in France so far, which is, Cahors seems a very attractive place.
And here we haven't another vineyard.
We haven't any neighbors as producers around.
So it's very pleasant for us, for the culture.
The vineyard is very preserved because no neighbor knows our agriculture around.
Okay, and just a quick one about Beringer. You said you've been here since the 1970s?
Yes.
And we've tasted a couple of your Malbecs earlier, and they were quite nice. What sort of wines do you produce, in general? Is it always all Malbec? Have you got a bit of Merlot? And, tell us a bit about Beringer, the wine estate.
Yes, we have natural wines aging in a concrete tank.
Yeah.
We have wines aging in a barrel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For the wines in barrel on the plateau on the Kimmeridgian.
Oh, Kimmeridgian clay, yeah, like in Chablis.
Yes, Jurassic.
Yeah.
With a lot of limestone a lot of fossils.
Yeah, oyster shells. Fossil. Is it oyster shells? Mm-hmm. It's normally Kimmeridgian clay. Is.
For example.
Yeah.
A lot of fossils. So we want to do wines with a soil, specific soils for the expressivity and the typicity of the soils. Okay. The soil.
So how many wines do you have that represent the soils?
We have six wines. We do a plot selection.
Each cuvée has its own plot, its own terroir.
All right, then. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.